used to the world not being okay, but we must never get used to the world being not okay. See, sickness is just not okay. It's not the way God made the world. Death is not okay. That's not the way God made the world. Our broken relationships are not okay. That's not the way God made the world. And even in our part of the world, where we live in such comfort, and even in our polite general conversation, you can tell the world's not quite right, can't you? You can tell things are good most of the time, but not all good. Isn't that the case for Christmas? You come to the Christmas table, and the Christmas table's great, isn't it? There's the family gathered, good food, wine. We're actually having three Christmas lunches this year. We've already had one. We've got two to come. People give gifts to each other. People show love and kindness to each other. I'm just talking about my family. you're on holidays. You're taking a break from work, at least for 2 days, most of us. Thank you for those who are in the services. You get to head off to the beach. You've got a nice weather, safety and security. It's all good, isn't it? But press a little bit deeper. Be thankful. That is good. But it's not all good, is it? There's someone who's not at the Christmas table this year because they passed away this year. There's someone who's estranged from our family. We hardly ever see them. There's someone's marriage is split up this year. Someone lost their job this year. There are some relationships that are so strained that actually they can only handle one meal a year. Everyone's just a little less fit than last year. Everyone's a little fatter, a little sicker. If I'm honest, I'm really annoyed by that person's selfishness. And it goes on, doesn't it? It's not all good. What would an ideal Christmas look like? We're all as fit as can be. Everyone genuinely loves each other. The gifts are amazing. Everyone is healthy. Every relationship is full of love and sacrifice and mercy. That's actually the new creation. We're not going to experience that Christmas this year or the next or the next. That's the creation to come. That's what we long for. We're not there yet. You know, the good thing about Christmas is that Jesus is bringing that Christmas in, that gathering in. The good news is that world is coming, that perfect world, that world that we desire, where there is no brokenness, there is no tears, there is no death, there is no mourning, there is no pain. And we need to say that it's not just pie in the sky, is it? It's not just wishful thinking. It's not just to make us feel good. Jesus has actually guaranteed that that will happen. And how has he guaranteed? He's given us proof. We saw it in his life, didn't we? As he grows up, his life, his miracles give us a picture of what he intends. A restored life, a rich life, a life where there's restored relationships and forgiveness, a life where there's peace and health and harmony. What does he do? He heals, he forgives, he calms the storm, he raises the dead. They're all a picture of what it will be like. But he actually goes further than that, doesn't he? He actually, in his death and resurrection, he deals with the problem that has caused all of this, our rebellion. He deals with sin. He pays the penalty for sin. He kills death and rises to new life, and in his body shows us, look, there is the new creation that I'm bringing in. I am the first of many to come. There is the proof that a new life is coming. Can you see how good it is that Jesus has come into the world? Can you see how serious God is about fixing the world? And can you see that if you understand this and trust in what Jesus has done and will do, can you see how much of a difference it would make to life now? It brings real hope, doesn't it? It brings real peace, real joy, knowing that is what Jesus has done and that is what Jesus will do when the new world is ushered in. Makes an enormous difference to Christmas, doesn't it? As you sit around the Christmas table, you know, loneliness is not the end. You can be connected to God. Our guilt, you can be forgiven. You can forgive others. In pain and sickness, you can long for that new creation where God, where there will be no more pain. All of that is possible because Jesus came into the world. Makes an enormous difference, doesn't it? There is nothing better that God could have done for us than bring in Jesus to right our world that is so wrong. There's the first one. Let me give you the second one. Second reason Jesus is so good is he reconnects us to God. He reconnects us to our Heavenly Father. Jesus comes as our Saviour. Did you notice the title there? Right at the announcement again, Jesus the Saviour is here. Jesus has come to save us from ourselves. He's come to save us from our sins, our rebellion against God, our desire to even politely say to God, actually, I'll run life my way without you. It's okay. I can live at arm's length with you. I can call on you when I want to call on you, but I'm running my life. Or I'll be as good as I can. Or I'm better than most. Well, it's that's the very thing that has separated us from God. And Jesus saves us from the penalty of that way of thinking. And without Jesus, we're lost, we're in darkness, we're disconnected from our Creator. And that's a terrible thing because we're actually made to worship. Have you noticed this? We're actually made to worship someone or something. And when we're not reconnected to God, what do? We actually make up God. We make up a God. We go looking for a God. Who can I worship? Who can I follow? What can I set my attention to? Who can I love? What can I love? We go looking for a God to worship, ignoring God, even making up. It shows itself at Christmas, doesn't it? People make up what Christmas is about. Rather than saying Christmas is about Jesus, Christmas is about, and the blank is your God, isn't it? Your alternative to Jesus. So Christmas is about family. Yeah, a lovely, beautiful gift from God, but not God. Actually, a terrible God. Not a loving God. Not a thing worth worshipping. What an awful thing to think that Christmas is about family. Christmas is about Jesus who deals with our rebellion. That's what's so good about Christmas. Our Saviour has arrived, who faces the judgment of God on our behalf, who is the perfect man, who dies in our place to face the judgment that we deserved. There is Jesus, the innocent one, being treated like the guilty one, and us, the guilty ones, being declared innocent, being forgiven. That's what Jesus has done for us. That's Jesus the Saviour. With Jesus, we can come home. We can be forgiven. We can be free to love God and love one another. It's very, very good, isn't it? The Bible says, what was God doing in Jesus? He was reconciling the world to himself in Christ, not counting people's sins against them. How good is that? To not have your sins count against you. Here's the offer. God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, shall not face the judgment, but have eternal life. That's because Jesus entered the world. How good is it? Well, let me give you a last one. All of this means one final thing. Jesus brings lasting joy. That's where we started. So Jesus brings something to life that is much more than happiness, much more than fleeting happiness, much more than happiness that we just can't grab hold of. Jesus brings a deep relationship, a deep security, a solid confidence that we are loved, that we are forgiven, that there is a better life to come. And this rich relationship we have with God now promises to satisfy us like nothing else can. This rich relationship we have with God now will carry us through the toughest of storms in life, like no one else can, like no one else will. Let me share with you a man by the name of Malcolm Muggeridge. He was a very successful English journalist. He lived last century. He was actually an agnostic, I think, for most of his life, most of his adult life. But he became a Christian, and this is how he reflected on his life. He says, "I may, I suppose, regard myself or pass for being as a relatively successful man. People occasionally stare at me in the streets. That's fame. I can fairly easily earn enough to qualify for admission to higher society. That's success. Furnished with money and a little fame, even the elderly, if they care to, may partake of trendy diversions. That's pleasure. It might happen once in a while that something I said or wrote was sufficiently heeded for me to persuade myself that it presented a serious impact on our time. That's fulfillment. Yet I say to you, and I beg you to believe me, multiply these tiny triumphs by a million. Add them all together, and they are nothing. Less than nothing. A positive impediment measured against one draught of that living water Christ offers to the spiritually thirsty, irrespective of who they are or what they have done." There is a man who's really grasped hold of the joy of Christmas, yeah? Who's really grasped hold that the only real joy in life worth pursuing is in Jesus. That everything else, he says, is not worth comparing. Everything else is fading. Everything else ultimately won't satisfy and won't last. So I want to ask you tonight on Christmas Eve, not just for this Christmas, but for your life, where is your joy? Because Christmas is that invitation to find real joy. Jesus' coming is really, really good news. Do you believe that? Where will you find your true joy? And will it be in Jesus? And can I say, if it is in Jesus this Christmas, you need to be incredibly thankful. That is a wonderful gift from God, isn't it? That you've found joy, you've found peace. We need to keep reminding ourselves of it. We keep centering ourselves on Jesus because we'll drift, we'll forget. But thank God for that great gift that he's given you. But maybe you've never tasted this joy. Maybe you've been looking in the wrong places. Or maybe you've even given up. And can I encourage you, can I just say to you tonight, don't give up. But don't drink from jugs that have holes in them. Don't go looking in every other place. Come to Jesus. Investigate Jesus. We'd love to help you with that. On your welcome slip that Pete pointed you to earlier, you can tick on there you'd like to investigate more. We even run Simply Christianity, a course to find out more about Jesus in January. We'd love to help you with it. Listen to Jesus. Find out about Jesus. Investigate Jesus. Are these things true? Hear the promise from Jesus. Come, this is what Jesus says, come and drink from living water. Come and drink from me, said Jesus, the fountain that never, ever ends. What does Jesus say? I've come to give you life and life to the full. So there it is. Jesus coming to the world, an extraordinarily good thing. What a great thing to be centered on Jesus this Christmas. What a great thing to do to check Jesus out. Three things. Jesus came to the world to put the world right. That restoration's already started. He's guaranteed it by his death and resurrection We are waiting for that new world to come. It transforms our life, our pain. It forgives our sins now as we wait for the... It gives us a vision of that new creation as we wait for Jesus. But Jesus also reconnects us with God, what we're made for. Jesus is our Saviour, and he brings us lasting joy. I'm going to pray. Our great Heavenly Father, how we thank you this Christmas for the Lord Jesus. Father, thank you so much that through your initiative, through your love and mercy, through your desire to put the world right, you sent your Son, Jesus. Father, thank you for his perfect life. Thank you for his mercy upon our suffering world. Thank you for his death on the cross. Thank you for the forgiveness of sins and the defeat of death that he has achieved for us. Father, help us to trust him, to look to him, to find our joy in him. Father, we thank you so much. In Jesus' name, amen.